The National Security Cutter is at the heart of a long-running effort to modernize the Coast Guard. Three of the ships have already been built and deployed. The Coast Guard, with test and evaluation help from the Navy, says the ships are effective and suitable for their mission. The Government Accountability Office is saying, not so fast. Joining me with more, Michelle Mackin, Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at the GAO. Ms. Mackin, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
All right, give us the overview of this program. This is not just a small program. It's a big, long-running, long-term situation, correct?
This is a long-running program, and the flagship, frankly, of the Coast Guard's cutter fleet, the National Security Cutter. It's about a $6 billion program, and as you mentioned, three of the ships are operational, seven of eight are either delivered or under contract at this point.
And looking at the diagram that the GAO put in the most recent report that you oversaw, it looks like this ship has problems literally stem to stern.
There have been some issues. The key event was the operational test event that happened in the spring of 2014. There were 10 major deficiencies that the Navy test agent identified there. Also, some key performance requirements that weren't met. In addition to that, there have been known for several years, that retrofits are going to be needed on the ship to replace certain pieces of equipment. And with the operational fleet, there have been some issues identified, for example, engine failures in warm water, which is limiting the speed of the ship, and cracked cylinder heads that are occurring at a higher rate than expected.
Well, I guess if the engine quits, then pretty much you don't have much to go on at that point.
It's a problem. As I mentioned, the key impact right now is that they can't achieve their planned transit speed in warm water conditions. But the key there is they don't really know why these failures are occurring. So there's some studies underway. But those issues are certainly impacting the operations of the ship.
And who is the prime contractor for the ships that have been built so far?
It's Huntington Ingalls down in Mississippi, and this particular program was part of the Deepwater program, which began in the early 2000s, and so it has been long-running, as you mentioned.
And is the shipbuilder and also the engine company, which I guess is probably a separate contractor, are they involved in looking at the problems as to why these engines are blowing up in warm water?
Absolutely. The engine is a separate contract for that, and the engine manufacturer is very involved in determining why this is happening and then, of course, how to fix it.
And so at this point, nobody knows really what to do.
That's right. These propulsion problems, in addition to the ones I mentioned, the generators are overheating, and there have been patrols that were cut short because they didn't have the backup generators working. So I think of all the issues we've identified, these failures in the propulsion system are probably the most troubling.
If the propulsion system quits, and suppose that Coast Guard ship maybe is under attack by small boats, you know, from terrorists or this kind of thing, could that be a problem? Could it endanger the ship?
It could. And in addition to the engine issues, some of the items that were identified in the operational test were the ability to deter or destroy an anti-ship cruise missile. That couldn't be tested because the testing drone wasn't available to use. So there are other impacts in addition to the engine that could be safety issues, yes.
And it looks like some of the weapon systems and the radars are not all that up to snuff either.
The combat systems did have failures in the operational testing. The close-in weapon system, the air search radar, the 57-millimeter gun, all had failures, and those will be tested again in the follow-on testing, which is important to mention. That will start this fall and continue at least through 2017. So again, that will be another very rigorous test event that hopefully the Coast Guard will be able to do better with some of these systems.
Now, your latest report, then, is really not about the deficiencies themselves, which were already identified, but in the way that the test program is conducted?
That was part of it, and this operational testing is really important. The key there is that it happened pretty late for the National Security Cutter after three ships were already in operations. Ideally, you'd want to do this operational testing earlier because, obviously, you discover things in testing. That's the point of the testing. That would give you an opportunity to make some fixes before additional ships are delivered to the fleet.
Otherwise, they were ready to go ahead and start building however many they're supposed to get.
Yes, seven of the eight planned ships were already in construction or delivered at the time of the operational testing. And that is something that the Offshore Patrol Cutter, which is a $12 billion program, much larger than the National Security Cutter, is going to be starting very soon. And the Coast Guard plans to do the operational testing after only one of those 25 planned ships is operational. So that should be an improvement.
Same general contractor for those ships also?
Unknown at this point. The Coast Guard plans to award a construction contract later this year.
Okay. We're speaking with Michelle Mackin, Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Issues at the GAO. And I was interested to find that the Navy has a large part of the testing role for the Coast Guard. Is that something new, or is that pretty common, and why do they need the Navy?
It's common. The Navy's done operational testing on many, if not all, of the Coast Guard assets. They have the expertise to do it, and the Coast Guard has partnership with them, and it's good to have that independent look, especially for these critical operational test events.
Has there ever been a study done of whether the Coast Guard could use a Navy design and just adapt it for their own use? I mean, is there a destroyer that could do the trick or something like that, that where the bugs have been worked out over a number of years?
You would think so. The National Security Cutter has many commonalities with the Navy's littoral combat ship, which has had problems of its own. The Coast Guard and Navy have never opted to go that route, however.
So this new National Security Cutter, is it on hold while they fix these issues, or are they still rolling forward with the acquisition of the follow-on ships?
They're rolling forward. Seven of eight are already under contract have been built or delivered. The eighth will be coming up very soon, and Congress recently appropriated money for a ninth National Security Cutter. So nothing has slowed down in terms of the acquisition approach.
And still having the same 57-millimeter gun that has had problems and the same engines and generators that have had problems?
Yes. So hopefully that the propulsion studies that are underway with the engine manufacturer will be able to figure out why these problems are happening and maybe get some fixes underway for the ships that are still at the shipyard.
And just a detail question. I see one of the problem areas is something called a single-point davit. I don't even hang my canoe from a single point. What is the issue with that one?
The issue is in higher sea states, it's dangerous to launch the small boats that launch from the National Security Cutter off of that single-point davit. They're prototyping a dual-point davit and testing that. So the plan, would be to retrofit all of the NSCs with the dual-point davit after it's been properly tested, and it should be safer to use.
In other words, it wouldn't swing around so much, the small boat, while it's trying to be lowered.
Absolutely correct.
And by the same token, there's a crane at the rear of the ship which launches something larger, a cutter boat, and that's been a problem also?
That's the gantry crane. Again, it's launching these smaller boats off the stern of the ship. And the issue there is that the gantry crane was never intended for a maritime environment. It's experiencing a lot of corrosion and obviously taking many, many maintenance hours to fix, and you do have to ask yourself why that particular crane was installed on a ship when it wasn't intended for maritime operations.
And so what is the Coast Guard's general response so far to your report?
The Coast Guard has always been very amenable to our recommendations. You know, they understand that they have to do some follow-on testing and retrofits of the gantry crane and the davit launch system. So they've always agreed with our recommendations and have made some improvements to their acquisition strategy for the Offshore Patrol Cutter, for example.
So in the meantime, if you're on a National Security Cutter, you should probably have a few spare paddles aboard.
Spare parts actually have been an issue with all of these cracked cylinder heads, the generators, the engine failures. The ships in operation have had some trouble getting an adequate pipeline of spare parts because they're failing at a rate greater than they had expected.
Wow. Michelle Mackin is Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Issues at the GAO. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Find a link to her report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.